almost no one raises the real issue of tax avoidance, right? And of the rich just not paying their fair share. I mean, it feels like I'm at a firefighters conference and no one's allowed to speak about water.
Today we walk into this house with an iconic South African plant, the Aloe Ferox. We must take the bitter with the sweet.
It is a matter that is under consideration. And all I would say is that watch this space.
Welcome to this week's episode of the SA Money Report. This financial podcast is brought to you by Fin24 and hosted by Deputy Editor Ahmed Arif.
As others will tell you, or as you probably already know from experience, getting a decent place to stay, be it to rent or to buy, really difficult. What you really don't want, on top of all of that, is an estate agent telling you that you shouldn't even come see a property because you are in the right race. We've seen similar stories before, and specifically saying that landlords only want white tenants. Well, not that land wasn't politicized enough already, we also now have to navigate these treacherous waters in the real estate game. Helping us to chart a way through it all and give us some understanding is Fin24's Kulkane Magubane. So Kulkane, let's start at the beginning. Or rather, let's start with the most recent events, since the beginning for some was a really, really long time ago. As things often come to light now, an exchange between a prospective tenant and an estate agent went viral. Can you talk us through what happened?
Now, the head of the Estate Agents Affairs Board, Mamodupi Mohlala, was not specific when she spoke about the incidents of discrimination that prompted the EAAB to investigate racism and discrimination in the property sector. However, she did say that an investigation was at hand because of a recent incident. And an incident that has made waves in the news recently was when Paul Osei, a Cape Town resident, tried to look for property to rent in the city and was talking to an agent named Gabriella Johnson, who was representing Life Real Estate, and a landlord who was looking for a tenant. And when he had spoken to her, she pointed out that the landlord was, quote unquote, race specific. He pointed out that a prospective tenant could not be denied lodging or rent on the basis of the color of their skin, to which Johnson had maintained that this was the condition of the landlord. Paul Osei then took a screenshot of this exchange, which happened via WhatsApp, and shared it to his Twitter account, where it went viral and sparked an outcry. This led to Life Real Estate's CEO, Brendan Miller, announcing that the landlord's contract would be terminated and that Johnson would be suspended. So while Mohlala did not say explicitly that this situation was the cause of the probe that the EAAB had undertaken, there is a lot to suggest that it was at least one of many incidences that might have prompted the EAAB to do so.
So as you just mentioned now, Kulkane, this isn't an isolated incident, and it's clearly prompted backlash, and as you said, many others have spoken up about it. What is the sector doing about it all?
So the Estate Affairs Board, the EAAB, has announced that they would be conducting a probe into the state of the sector and the extent to which the sector is plagued with discrimination, particularly racism. And for that purpose, he had made this announcement last week during the rental industry summit that she spoke at. You know, this is Mamodupi Mohlala. And she had spoken about how this is critical for the sector to get to grips with this problem and to introduce incentives to do away with the problem, introduce means to discourage this kind of behavior from practitioners, from landlords, from anyone in the sector who has power, and most importantly for the sector itself to be transformed meaningfully for the benefits of consumers and for the sector itself.
So, Kulkane, the demographics in our country are obvious. But now, 27 years into democracy, while there's still major inequality and structural barriers for previously disadvantaged people, the property buying and renting demographics have changed as well. Can you talk us through that?
So there's been a great deal of change with the advent of democracy, of course, because there aren't any legal or legislative constraints on property ownership anymore, except for, you know, the structural imbalances that remain because of the history of economic deprivation. But the sector has changed in a great extent in terms of buyers now that Black women are the dominant buyers in the market. But there is some interesting information in the EAAB's annual report for 2019-2020, which speaks about 47,356 Fidelity Fund certificates registrations for estate agents in that year. But at the same time, just over 800 estate agents were estimated to come from previously disadvantaged backgrounds. And I heard someone who's interested in the sector say, you know, this kind of comes across as the industry saying people from previously disadvantaged backgrounds, your money is good enough, but you're not good enough. And that's obviously something that would definitely need a close look and changes as the EAAB continues to do not only its investigation, but its work in trying to assist Black practitioners and Black firms get a foothold into the market.
Kulakane, the EAAB CEO, said that the acts of some of these people in the industry was, in her words, clearly interrupting the economic growth of the market. What did she mean?
That was a very interesting quote from her that I definitely wanted to be sure to take stock of from the summit at which she spoke. And it was quite interesting because when you take into consideration the statistics that I mentioned about Black women now being the dominant buyers in the market, and still the practitioners, a very small amount of practitioners, less than 1,000 coming from previously disadvantaged backgrounds, there's a lot to be said about many of those people who are driving that surge of Black women being dominant buyers. Many of them are first-generation matriculants, first-generation graduates, first-generation professionals, and so it's essential that their participation in the property market is not only an indicator that things are changing, but there is a multiplier effect in their economic progress, and that one person who is allowed to own a home, that has a multiplier effect for their families and the people whose lives they touch. And even though we live in a society driven by millennials, there is still a great deal of stock and value that's placed in home ownership and the idea of having a piece of God's green earth that belongs to you. And of course, when she says this, she's clearly saying that to prevent people from being in this market, to prevent people from having home ownership by any means, is absolutely has a negative impact on economic growth because it interrupts that multiplier effect. And of course, the market itself becomes restricted, and that can never be good for the economy because you're locking consumers out of an array of linkages if you lock certain consumers out, particularly on the basis of the color of their skin.
Kulakane, with the industry itself, what's the state of transformation there?
The industry is in a very strange schism with the dominant buyers in the market for homes now being Black women. But in terms of the representation in the sector, you're still seeing that 800 or less practitioners in the sector are coming from previously disadvantaged backgrounds. And that's something that the EAAB is determined to resolve. And they've got mechanisms. They've got funding mechanisms and they've got mentorship mechanisms. But of course, this is something that needs a much more holistic solution in terms of those inside the industry need to chip in terms of allowing the industry to be more receptive. And we always talk about how competition is good, getting people on an agile footing and allowing that representation to feed through, not just amongst the buyers, but amongst those who are in the industry itself.
Let's play a game of hypothetical here, Kulakane. I want to put one of my properties up for rent. How far do my rights extend in terms of me picking who I want to rent my property? And at what point does me not choosing a particular person become discriminatory? And to be honest, technically, should there honestly be any debate if the person can afford to pay the rent on time and follow stipulations in a contract?
When looking at this, the documents that are critical are the Constitution and looking at the guidelines of the Estates Agents Affairs Board. There are requirements that are allowed to be indulged by a landlord or an owner. Those requirements cannot be preclusive in terms of rates, because that, of course, would be inconsistent with the Constitution of South Africa, which is the supreme law of the land. Obviously, there are people who've made their requirements in terms of when you list your property and you want to work with an agent to get it in the rental space. And of course, they want to make the landlord happy. And of course, those requirements might be inconsistent with the Constitution. It is very important that practitioners in the space who have skin in the game must ensure that people know that there are limits to what you can preclude and to who you can deny, and on the basis of which that you can deny them, and that ultimately people might try to work their way around it, and an agency or an agent might say that these are the requirements of the client, but ultimately you cannot hold back or refuse to consider somebody as a tenant in rental on the basis of the color of their skin.
Thank you for your time, Kolakane. This brings our show to an end. The music in this episode is courtesy of Getty Images and Epidemic Sound. This week's installment was produced with the help of Nombelo Chalumbira. Thank you for listening.